General Berhan's claims are consistent with reports we've been hearing since the conflict erupted, and in fact, which seem to have escalated in the past months. The Rapid Support Forces, the RSF, is consistently alleged to have targeted civilians. They're using civilians as a shield, which is a potential war crime. They have ethnically targeted communities in the western part of the country in Darfur. And General Delgado Hemeti, his claims that he is working to restore democracy have absolutely no credibility. In fact, he had very limited trust on the part of the general population prior to this conflict. And now, with the systematic attacks on civilians, he has even less support than before. So there's, just no way that he can be seen as somehow as a champion for democracy in Sudan.
Amnesty International has accused both warring parties of committing extensive war crimes, including deliberate killings of civilians and mass sexual assault. In its 56-page report, the group said almost all rape cases were blamed on the RSF and its allied Arab militias. Would that report support Al-Burhan's position?
Obviously, Burhan is not the best spokesperson, as he himself has repeatedly undercut the democratic transition in Sudan, and his intransigence is, partly to blame for the descent into this lawlessness and conflict that we're seeing in Sudan. Moreover, Sudan Armed Forces, which General Burhan commands, have bombed civilian areas. But the sense is that that has been primarily aimed at trying to root out the RSF. It hasn't been a wanton targeting of civilians. Therefore, I think it is fair to say that most of these atrocities are being pinned on the RSF, and we shouldn't draw a false equivalence between the two sides, despite the fact that Sudan Armed Forces also have much to account for.
Is there a practical mechanism for accountability for these crimes?
Well, this is the problem of facing a collapsed state where there is lawlessness. And so I think the first and most important thing that can be done is to continue to signal to both sides that they will not be recognized, even if one side were to prevail. International community, the regional actors need to convey they are not going to be recognized as the sovereign head of state. And therefore, there's not a political end game for this where they come out on top. I think that's really important because reports suggest, especially among Hemeti, that he thinks that he can sustain, this conflict and eventually, if he's able to prevail over the Sudan Armed Forces, that the international community will come around and recognize him. So I think he needs to be disabused of that impression and that calculation. I think that can be reinforced with sanctioning individuals and institutions involved in financing this conflict and in getting arms into the conflict. So that's both in Sudan and those who are enabling that from outside. I think it is going to require more engagement on the part of the United Nations, would be critical to enhancing accountability. And I think we need to turn to the ICC. This is exactly what the ICC was created for when prosecutions couldn't take place at the national level. And we should recall that International Criminal Court was active in Sudan during the genocide in Darfur, 20 years ago. And that put an enormous amount of political pressure on the then leader, Omar al-Bashir. And it limited his travel, it limited his credibility, and really painted him into a corner. And I think if that, if Hemeti and members of the RSF and potentially members of the Sudan Armed Forces are alleged, or if there's arrest warrant put out for them on war crimes, I think it would further isolate them politically and force them to consider other exit strategies.